Borjofsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. And everybody's asking me, and so I'll get right to it. You know, I don't have a public and private position on the election. I am who I am on the air, off the air, and everybody's pestering me to give them what I think is going to be the outcome of this thing. Robbie, bring me my crystal ball. Get it over here. All right. Well, to answer the question, I'm going to go. There's a pollster that's been pretty outspoken this cycle. Pat Cadell. And Patrick Cadell, most famous for being Jimmy Carter's pollster in the 1980 election. And if you remember it's an interesting story, right? You know, in 1980, everybody leading up, all the pollsters, all the talking heads, everybody, the conventional wisdom was that Jimmy Carter would win it. He would win it. In fact, so surprised were they, the talking heads on TV, pundits, journalists, pollsters, and so forth. They're completely bowled over when a landslide happened that night. It wasn't until the exit polls began coming in, and they were completely flabbergasted and flummoxed as to what occurred. Now, for a variety of reasons, today is not 1980, but it does show, and it's happened in other races before as well, where the polls simply don't capture everything. They don't tell the whole story. Especially not in an election like, and I've said this time and time again, how many times have you heard me tell you there are so many people out there who do not want to identify as Trump voters? They will not identify themselves as Trump voters. They do not want to talk to pollsters. They don't want, I mean, there are people that are laying low, number one. And number two, there are so many people out there, and this is, it's a gut feeling, but there are so many people out there who are for the first time voting maybe in 20 or 30 years, if maybe ever. Some of it's anecdotal, sure, but no, there are people who have been absolutely fed up with the political process, who are sick and tired of it. And Trump is the first change candidate that they're interested in. Now, this is not just meant to be a pitch for Trump. I'm trying to explain to you why there could very well be, if there is anything close to a landslide tomorrow, it's not going to be for Hillary Clinton, because the energy, the movement, the momentum is headed Trump's direction with this groundswell of unaccounted for voters. For example, let me give you why are unaccounted voters so important? These people who never voted, right? These people who for 20 years, 30 years, if ever, have ever, not, never, you know, gone in and cast their ballot. Well, those people are important because the pollsters aren't reaching them. You know, pollsters, it's a secret sauce. Every pollster has a different formula. You know, they don't just arbitrarily call people. I mean, they do in a sense, but they pick those people based on certain demographics, and each pollster has a different formula that they then take the data and run the numbers, you know, and based on that, make their, you know, put it into percentages. And the factor that one of the key factors is likely voter. And based on likely voter, how do you figure out a likely voter? Well, you go back to past elections. But you know, and you know I'm right about this, this is an election that, for the first time, is energizing voters who were not interested before. It's not Hillary that's energizing those. None of her support is going to be coming from this newly awakened class or group of people. Instead, and this is something, so this is something that Pat Cadell is talking about today. And again, you probably missed this, but it's critical. Forget for a minute the who would you vote for binary Trump v. Clinton question. Let's just put that one aside and shelve it, because the more important thing is to gauge where the American public is on some general themes, themes that are very important in this election. Now, what do I mean? There's some questions that were asked, and this is back in early October. This is post-Trump tape and pre-Comey announcement number one. We've since then had a Comey announcement number two. We all know what number two stands for. Okay. Here's some of the things that Cadell and his crew had polled the American public on. And again, likely voters. So these are people that are already on the grid. We're not even talking about the people that are off the grid. On the grid. Let me throw out one of these for you. And when I'm giving you, I'll give you the pollster question. I want you in your mind to think, how would you answer this? Okay, here we go. And do you agree or disagree with this statement? The power of ordinary people to control our country is getting weaker every day as political leaders on both sides fight to protect their own power and privilege at the expense of the nation's well-being. All right, now, what would you say? Where are you at? Agree or disagree with that? All right, if you said that you agree, you're part of 87% of people out there. That is not within any kind of margin of error, folks. Nope. Let me give you another one. This one's good. Most politicians really care about me. You agree or disagree? Agree, only 25%. And I mean, it's not unsurprising, okay? 69% disagree. But here's where it gets interesting. The real struggle for America is not between Democrats and Republicans, but between mainstream America and the ruling political elites. What do you think? Agree, disagree? Okay. 67% agree with that statement. Now, I talked about this, what was it, a week ago, week and a half ago, about the difference between town and country. And it's, and you know, you hear it in all of Hillary's speeches. You hear, you know, Wall Street versus Main Street. It's this theme, you know, it's just absurd, right? Given the person that made millions speaking in the Wall Street. But here's what I'm getting at. Two-thirds of the country, if this polling is accurate, think that it's really not about Democrats and Republicans, but it's between mainstream America and the ruling political elites. And the ruling political elites, by the way, you throw the media in there, right? Big corporations, people that are cozy with both parties in power, right? Doesn't matter who you vote for. You know what? It doesn't matter who you vote for. It's the same no matter what. They're the same people. You just put a big D after their name, big R, doesn't matter. It's the same person. The same, gonna get the same thing. Now, take this. Okay, now think about this. This is really the source. This is my opinion, but it's really the source of the Trump surge that happened in October. Because as you get closer to the election and you have to actually make a decision, where it's no longer fantasy land. I hate both of them. No, push comes to shove. I got to make a decision. What are you going to do? These numbers, there is no mistaking these numbers. These are real numbers, and it favors only one candidate. It favors Trump. These are not numbers that in any way, shape, or form help Hillary or put any wind in Hillary's sails. One thing I said on this program months and months and months ago during the primaries is I said the most formidable opponent that Donald Trump could ever face would be Bernie Sanders. I said it and I said it over again. And the reason for it is even before I saw, I've been talking about this for a long time now. So if you've been listening to me, you know that you're informed. That's right. You didn't need to hear the results of this survey to know that this is the general feeling in America. Now, if the Democratic primary had all been done fair and square, If everybody had played by the rules and, you know, it's very likely, to tell you, very likely that the postmortems that are being, that will be talked about, discussed, lamented over in the days, weeks, and months to come will be, oh, if only we hadn't, meaning the Democrats, if only we hadn't rigged it for Hillary. The primaries are supposed to select the candidate that best represents what the public wants. And the Democrat, and these are, by the way, this is evenly split among Democrats and Republicans. There's a lot of Democrats. There are a lot of Democrats that are responding that are part of these two-thirds and up to 87% of frustrated, you know, frustrated and frankly disenfranchised American voters. Now, throw into it the mix. I keep coming back to this. These are likely voters. What about the voters that are not accounted for? You know people in your midst. You do. You've talked to them. And you know that there are people out there who now, for the first time, are going, yeah, I'm fired up. I'm going to vote. And I'll tell you the kind of thing that fires people up. It's not Alicia Machado. It's not the tape. It's not the outrage factor. It's a deep-seated frustration with having the card stacked against you. That is what motivates people. It's fundamental. It's visceral. And it's something that many of us here in LA just don't get. We don't get it. Because you know what? For the most part, life is pretty good and we're insulated from it. But there's this whole rest of America. And in fact, when we talked about the rest of America, back to my town versus country argument, right? That the city, this we here in the cities, you know, this we got it good. But this is where the elites live. So the people that are giving us, feeding us everything that we ought to know and believe, they're all from, you know, L.A. and from New York and Washington and so forth. But these swing states, look at how it's tightening up. I've always said Pennsylvania, no chance. Yeah, no chance it's going to be wildly for Clinton. It's the Rust Belt. Think of all the shuttered factory towns that are affected by this globalist economy. There are people in those towns that have had it up to here. They're lifelong Democrats. So, by the way, also, slightly on a tangent, don't let anybody tell you that these early voting statistics, that the Democrats are outnumbering Republicans and that's bad news for Trump. It's just not. That's the assumption there. I heard that on CNN today, so I'm addressing it. The assumption there, the logical shortcut that is being taken is that all those Democratic votes are automatically Hillary's. But this is an election that's like none other. The Republican votes aren't automatically for Trump, and the Democrat votes aren't automatically for Hillary. No way, no how. And in these states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Virginia especially, registered Democrats are going to be voting for Trump. I don't know. Look, I can't tell you in what numbers. This is not. Now I'm getting into the overall picture of what's happening out there. And this in a race that 2 weeks ago they wanted to tell us was all wrapped up and done in the bag for Hillary. Don't believe what you hear. Conventional wisdom has underestimated the Trumpster at every turn. You don't. Yeah, I say this is the one election where you don't want to be betting against Trump because it's not a good. Well, so far he's certainly outperformed every expectation. Now, this is just to frame generally what's going on. Now, here's another thing to consider when we're talking about this polling. So the latest poll here talked about the elites question again. There's one just the other day. And it's still holding strong after 3 weeks from the poll that I talked about before. And here's what it says. For years, the political elites, now it says it's an agree or disagree. For years, the political elites have governed America for their own benefit. and to the detriment of the American people. And here, now listen to this next part again and tell me if you agree or disagree. This election is the best chance in our lives to take back our government. Agree? Good. I do too. And so do 63% of Americans. So here's the scoop. This, I don't know the answer. I actually have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow because it's just such a crazy, it's just been such a crazy race. But if this race runs any direction, it's running towards Trump, and it's running towards Trump in an absolutely mighty and unforeseeable way. So when we come back, I'll give you a few more examples of this. And it's good stuff. All right, back after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Do we have that clip where Hillary, you guys remember when Hillary began barking like a dog in the middle of a speech? Do we have that? No, I mean, that literally is Hillary Clinton.
Talk Radio.
KABC.
Owner Julian Assange disagrees with me, says Trump can't win the elections, has no establishment support. Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. What is interesting in this discussion, because he gave an interview, a 25-minute interview, to a journalist, John Pilger, and Assange basically lays out a pretty interesting short list of who he views as the establishment. He names banks, intelligence, the intelligence community, so like the CIA and that kind of thing, arms companies, foreign money, media owners, and journalists. And he says they're all basically in the pocket of Hillary. They're all with her. And with that kind of headwind, you can't win. He did, interestingly enough, say that there is one group, maybe, of establishment that Trump has picked up. You know what that group is? The evangelicals. Interesting, right? You would think of the evangelicals as part of the establishment. But even then, he qualifies as maybe. Well, this is all nonsense polling because at the end of the day, I get the argument. At the end of the day, Sam, it's really comes down, forget all the other stuff, it comes down to the binary choice between the two candidates. Yes, there are two, three maybe other, you know, third party candidates, but comes to a choice between Hillary and Trump, essentially. So what then? I know you can pick and choose a poll. They've all tightened. All right. So when you take the average of polls, Hillary's up only +2. It's well within the margin of error. That's nothing. You can't. I mean, there's even when you throw in the wildly, you know, the out, even when you throw in the outlier polls, you mix that stew together, make the average and, you know, punch the numbers. It's still only a +2. But the poll that I've always followed, I've talked about this before, right? The USC poll, the daily tracking poll, the LA Times. Okay, it's the USC LA Times presidential tracking poll. They've been doing it for a long time. I mean, it's been going on since basically the end of the primaries. Yeah, a daily tracking poll. Yeah, look it up. It's, you know, it's just LA Times. Oh, by the way, the LA Times is so embarrassed by this poll that they hide it. That's the craziest part about the whole thing. You got to Google it. So you Google the LA Times USC tracking poll. And, okay, I was explaining this to my dad the other day. We were discussing this. I was talking about the polling, and we were talking about which polling we think is most accurate. And he asked me why I think that this poll is accurate, and I'll tell you why. Because when I have a good sense of what I have a good read on on the political temperature of things. And in spite of my obvious, unabashed bias in this election, I know when my side is screwing things up. I can feel it. I am objective. I understand that what So every time Trump is doing things that I think are just nuts, and I'm thinking, you know, abort, 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 that's when this poll, best of any of them, reflects it. Because there's times when I'm looking at the poll, I'm going, yeah, look, Trump ought to be higher. And this is the only poll that has shown it. Not scientific. I'm just telling you, this poll is one, and it's had Trump wildly down. It's had Trump wildly up. And same with Hillary. The overall trend of the Trump poll, though, has been going upward since July. It's trended upward. If you, you know, if you're a statistician, look it up. Email me if I'm wrong, but you draw a line through this poll and it is trending upward. Robbie, you've seen it. Where does it have Trump? Now, granted, this is a national poll, so it's in this. I'm not playing the Electoral College game right now. It has Trump today, the day before the election, at 48, and it has Hillary at 43.2. That's correct. But here's the interesting thing. There is a band, a gray band in this poll where it's a statistical. If anything outside of the band has a 95% confidence level, 95%. Okay, it's just one poll. But these guys have been doing it a long time. And here's the thing. They are both outside of that 95, meaning they are at 95% confidence that Trump has the upper hand. So it's interesting. There are statistics to back this up. Do not despair. You got to go out and vote tomorrow. All right, we'll be back after this. Good stuff coming up. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, as an added spot tonight, I just wanted to let you guys know that we are subjugating our entire show to Sam Nation because apparently he's right. And the rest of everyone is wrong.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Hours away, this election is. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Now, we talked about the polls, you know, how it stacks up nationally. But really, what matters here, it all comes down to these battleground states and the Electoral College. Now, before I break it down, I have so many people tell me, we need to do away with the Electoral College. Just got to do away with it. It's gone. It's done. We just need to have a popular vote. Do you know why we have the Electoral College? Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I actually think it's very wise. I feel like that's not a popular position these days. Look, our founders knew they understood that the population would gravitate toward big centers, right? That they were, and maybe toward the coasts. They understood that. And so they wanted to make sure that each state sent delegates to the Electoral College to decide the presidential race so that presidential candidates would go and campaign in the states. Now, you know, we don't realize this because we live in California, and California, and who knows how it'll be. You know, there could be some major change, but we are a rich blue state. So nobody really comes in campaign. Nobody really comes in campaigns here. But let me tell you, if elections were all about the popular vote, The, you know, the candidates would, they would just fly right over the middle of America. They would never, they'd never be campaigning in Ohio. Ohio wouldn't matter. Neither would Kansas. You think they'd, they wouldn't camp. Iowa, who knew you? I mean, they wouldn't care because the contribution that that state would make toward the popular vote would be minimal. Right. So that's the reason for the Electoral College. All right. You know, so each state basically has its own election and then sends a certain amount of electors to a meeting place. And those electors, by the way, are set by the census. So it's, you know, it is based on population, but it's a block. Well, good. So Iowa, for example, has six. They send six. Now it's a swing state. And here's how the math, the RCP averages that take all the polls and all the battleground states. Well, first of all, I'll tell you what, there's deep blue, there's deep red, and there's leaning blue, leaning red, all that. Okay, so you need 270 votes. Clinton's got about 203 locked up, and Trump has about 164. So he's down a little bit. Now, toss-up states. Mind you, only need, right? You only, like Trump needs, Hillary needs, what does she need? 67 votes, 67. Yeah. And then Trump would need another, what is it, 106? Guess how many states are toss-ups? Tomorrow, they're toss-ups. Like as of right now, they are up in the air tomorrow. 171 votes, electoral votes. Now, where are they? Well, they're in some states that I'm telling you, these are states that have surged towards Trump. And I'm willing to, again, I'm telling you, if I had a pick, for example, Arizona, there's no way Arizona is going to Hillary. It's not going to happen. It's a border state. New Mexico might. It leans a little more blue. Nevada, again, I think that's a Trump state. Florida has surged towards Trump. He went from being down by 8 and he's up by 2. And that's in the averages. In the averages. So he's being brought down by earlier numbers. Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania. I talked about Pennsylvania early. I just see it as a rust. Ohio. And now Michigan. He's surging in Michigan. So you start adding it up. That I just named a majority of these toss-up states. So when we talk about, it could never be a landslide for Trump. Well, if Trump gets 150 of these 171 toss-up votes, yeah, that's a landslide for Trump. He ends up with 300 plus electoral votes. That's huge. So again, don't despair. You got to vote. This is it's like those poll results that we talked about. It's an election. It's that one chance that you have to take it back from the elites. Punch them right on the nose. All right. When we come back, let's talk about, interesting thing about Trump and something that he's done in the last 2 weeks. I bet it's something you haven't even noticed. I'll tell you what it is. Sam Brzozowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Hillary, ostensibly, was always attacking her and protecting her husband because there was something in it for her. It was her career, too. She always saw herself as being co-president with Bill Clinton, didn't she?
Talk Radio
7790 KABC.
Imagine the shock of the passengers on an Aeromexico flight the other day when suddenly a loose serpent came unstowed. Yeah, that's right. No, literally somebody sitting on the plane and you know that little crack in the ceiling where they have the lights, you know, that washes the side of the wall where the windows are. Well, all of a sudden a snake just drops right out of it. Yeah, and Samuel Jackson was nowhere in sight. I tell you, that would be a great call for Sweet James, wouldn't it? Hello, Sweet James. Why, yes, I was on a plane, and a snake dropped right on top of me. I don't, well, look, whatever the accident or crazy situation, you gotta, if you've been injured, it doesn't matter. It can be, there's some weird stuff that happens out there. You gotta call attorney James Bergener. His friends call him Sweet James, and when you talk to him, you'll realize why. Tireless advocate. I mean, he's the person that will fight for you and fight for what you deserve all the way to the end. All right. You want him in your corner and you got to give him a call. Don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to the insurance company. Don't talk to Aeromexico. They're going to make up snake excuses. Don't let them do it. Just call Sweet James first. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rejofsky here. Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. Okay, well, have you noticed something about Trump lately? That's right. They took away his Twitter account. Well, they say that it's because Well, and for what is it? What 2 weeks? There's been nothing from him. Hey, maybe he figured it out a little too late. But then we're getting a taste of maybe what a presidential Trump would be like. Okay, if you're worried that he'd be tweeting from the Oval Office, rest assured, the man does have some self-control, and he does. And you know what? It's good either way. Either he's pivoted and he himself has realized that, you know, that the Twitter thing was a little bit crazy. Or he's listened to his people, in which case that's also a good thing. So. But it is. Yeah, no, it's a significant development. Well, yeah. Well, look, hey, by the way, you know, speaking of significant developments, when we were just talking about the battle for the White House and you got the electoral votes. You know that 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, in the same map, in the same average of polls, when you took all the states into account, Clinton already had more than 260 votes locked up in her blue column. Like, done. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Yeah, but, well, you're raising it's exactly the right point. And the right point is it a question of things changing so dramatically in the last 2 weeks? Or one might take a more cynical view that these pollsters, right, these guys that, by the way, you see the thing that the pollsters are all in the tank for Hillary overwhelmingly. Pollsters and people who work at poll companies have given to Hillary like 3-1, 4-1, whatever. It's huge. So who's to say that they are perhaps interpreting the numbers in a way that would make their candidate, their preferred candidate, their leading lady, look stronger than she really is? But of course, these pollsters at the end of the day, right, they can't end up with egg on their face. Nobody likes to be the pollster who predicted victory and then gets schlonged. So what do you do? You make it in the tank for Hillary in the first, 4 months, show her looking nice and strong. And then when it comes to the nice ending, you go, okay, now, kids, we got to tighten it up. Because we don't want to be too far off when the music man comes. I don't know. I think it's possible. Anything's possible, of course. People's biases sneak into everything, and I'm at least honest about my biases, and I'm upfront with them, which is what CNN should do, and all these other clowns. All right, we'll be back after this. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Tomorrow afternoon, KABC takes over the legendary Smokehouse in Burbank, starting at 3 with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips. Then, join Doug, T-Ray, and all of your KABC faves for election results, analysis, And prime rib, the most unusual election in U.S. history, deserves the most unusual election night coverage. Your Common Sense Election Headquarters, 790 KABC.
KBC can only really play that promo because I'm on. I mean, let's be real. I mean, if I weren't on air, it wouldn't be Common Sense. I'm kidding. All right, well, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And imagine my shock. I'm doing a bit of show prep, and I've got the TV on in the office, and up comes a commercial for Prop 64. So in case you haven't figured it out yet, Prop 64 is the vote to legalize marijuana in California. I wasn't shocked by the commercial, of course, itself, except for the fact that it featured my law school dean, Tom Campbell, who was a Republican congressman in Northern California. And I count him as a friend. I'm going to embarrass him a little bit. No, it's not embarrass. Everybody knows this about him. It couldn't tell you how. That's right. No, it was Tom. He was on. Okay. Well, if you know him, I'll tell you this. He doesn't so much as drink alcohol. In fact, I went to dinner with him once. And dinner, yes. And he ordered milk at a restaurant. One and only time I've had a grown man order milk. I wasn't warm milk, if in case you're wondering. But he would, at law school, he would actually bring a little. Mind you, this is a brilliant guy and a very accomplished individual. And he was just so down to earth and humble. He would come to law school and eat on a picnic bench, and he had a little brown paper bag, and he'd pull out a little like treetop apple juice and start drinking on it. So that's the Tom Campbell I know. Now imagine my shock to see him in a legalized marijuana ad. And the best part about it is Tom says, now I've never smoked marijuana. And I'm laughing because everybody in the public, well, they see a man, you know, 60 odd years old, and they go, yeah, right. Listen, I know the guy. I'll tell you what. That is the God's honest truth right there. I believe him 100%. So anyway, a random funny moment for my day. Hey, running all those numbers, right, about people being overwhelmingly sick of the system and thinking that politicians aren't on their side and explaining that really is going to be the deciding factor in this election. Let me tell you where, you know, why this is, okay? I found that somebody sent me this diagram of where we fall on the issues. You know, people lament all the time that there isn't enough bipartisan agreement, right? Isn't that the typical BS line you hear all the time? And my opinion always is there's too much agreement in Washington. Man, the Republicans gave Obama everything. They just capitulated. Don't we kind of like when we have, you know, a guy of one party in the Oval Office or gal and another party in Congress, and they're supposed to fight? Gridlock is good. The more gridlock, the less progress. Frankly, there's nothing good that ever comes out of Washington, so less is more. Well, here's bipartisan agreement. It's a long list. War on drugs, bailouts, the FDA, foreign wars, Patriot Act, corporate subsidies, right? Social Security, Medicare. We've talked about this. Medicaid, government-run school, income taxes. I mean, this is where Democrats and Republicans agree on. What's the difference? Well, Democrats are what? Pro-choice, right? Republicans, I guess, pro-life. Democrats favor slightly higher taxes. Republicans, I guess, slightly lower, although that even is debatable. And Democrats want condom subsidies. There you go. I mean, I've just summed it up. Those are the differences between the two parties. And so no wonder so much of America that's gotten the shaft, I'm not talking about the the condom subsidies here, they want a change. They want something different. And trust me, that's where that was the wind in Obama's sails. it was in 2008. And propelled him to the White House, and he was likable enough to win over Mitt Romney, but again, not by too much. And here now we have another change candidate, one that has exactly and specifically struck a chord with the American public. So I will be back on Wednesday after the election. I'm not here tomorrow night. I will be at home celebrating or grieving. We will see. And I'll rejoin you here on Wednesday with a post-election wrap-up. You will not want to miss that show. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Go and vote!
Be heard. Vote November 8th.
Before you cast your vote, get the facts. Your common sense election headquarters. KABC. Los Angeles, Orange County. A Cumulus station.